This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Happy New Year, folks. This is my first show of the new year, 2014. Hope you guys had a great Christmas. I enjoyed my break. I enjoyed a little time off. Kind of got away from thinking about podcasts and firearms training for a while, and kind of got away from the weekly grind of my job. Took some time off, took a little bit of vacation time off. And it was just really good to recharge my batteries and kind of just reflect on the year. Had a great Christmas. I hope you had a good Christmas. I hope Santa Claus was good to you. I hope he brought you some good gun stuff. And hopefully you're enjoying those good gun presents. This is episode number 262. Well, I promised, if you've been following me on Facebook, I promised that I would do some things different this year in 2014. So I've kind of set a list of priorities that I want to talk to you about and tell you about. And I think you're going to kind of enjoy this, and I think you're going to really get something out of this in terms of being able to maybe plan some of your own firearms activities and gun stuff. The topic of this show, or the title of this show, is hoplophobia. And you might be saying, what? What is that? What is hoplophobia or hoplophobia? Not quite sure exactly how that's pronounced. Hoplophobia is the irrational, morbid fear of guns. Okay? It's the irrational fear of guns. It was originally coined by Colonel Jeff Cooper. And it comes from the Greek word hoplites. And I believe that hoplites in Greek means weapon. Hoplites. So it's probably called hoplophobia. And okay, so the Greek word hoplites means weapon. And it may cause, you know, here's the problem with hoplophobia. You might see this a lot out there. It can cause sweating, faintness, discomfort, rapid pulse, nausea, sleeplessness. Wow, man, I can't get that word pronounced. At the mere thought of guns, those symptoms can often arise. So be careful of that. I got to put that disclaimer out there. Hoplophobes are common and should never be involved in setting gun policies. This is critical. You need to point out hoplophobic behavior when it's noticed. It is dangerous. It suffers from pity. And its sufferers deserve to be helped, and they should seek treatment. When confronted, now you got to be real careful, because when confronted, hoplophobes typically go into denial. And that's a common characteristic of this affliction. Now, what are the cures? The cures of hoplophobia, it's often cured by training, by taking them to the range, getting them to shoot for the first time. And this is a psychiatric phenomenon called desensitization. And it's often used in treating a lot of different phobes, and hoplophobia is no different. So let's all make sure that if you see a hoplophobe, if you meet a hoplophobe or hoplophobe, whatever you want to call them, that you take pity on them and that you help them and that you help them seek the appropriate proven treatments. Psychiatrists have approved these specific treatments for hoplophobia. And I'll say that again. These are psychiatric approved by the Food and Drug Administration. The FDA has approved the following treatments for hoplophobes, people that have an irrational fear of guns. If you point it out and you actually get them to a range, you take them shooting, and you desensitize them, and, you know, I mean, do the things that common sense people do to treat diseases of this kind called hoplophobia, you can often save people from the terrible afflictions of their irrational fear of guns. Okay, that was a joke, and that was maybe a bad attempt at humor, right? Obviously, that's not an FDA-approved treatment. You gotta love Jeff Cooper. I like it when he used to come up with these kinds of things. But maybe you know somebody that is a hoplophobe, and they have this irrational fear of guns. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later as I get into the main topic. But let's talk about 2014. I'm going to make some commitments to you. These are kind of some New Year's resolutions that I've made. I'm going to make some commitments to you as a listener to this show. And if you take the training classes that I put on, or even if you don't, that's fine. Here's some commitments that I'm also making to myself, and you might get some value in these. First of all, I'm gonna practice what I preach. I'm gonna take some training this year. I'm gonna take 2 training classes this year. I don't know exactly for sure, but most likely one of them is gonna be 0 to 5 feet pistol gunfighting with John Payne over in Orange, Texas, with John Payne at Suarez International. So I'm gonna take a couple of training classes because I believe that anybody that wants to teach you how to better defend yourself with a firearm, they better be pretty well trained themselves. Would you agree? I hope that you guys will agree with me on that and that you'll take that to heart. So that's one thing. As far as the show, what I like to do is I like to keep my shows a little shorter. What I've found in listening to other podcasts out there, other podcasts tend to get a little long, and they tend to get quite a bit commercial-filled, and, you know, they have to expand the length of the show because they got to get all the commercials in there. I want this show to remain a hard-hitting, useful show. I am not the expert. I just want to tell you that. You all know my background, if you've been listening long enough. A Yankee with a gun. Just an everyday guy. I didn't come from military, didn't come from law enforcement. I wasn't a gunsmith in a former life. I'm just an outside salesman. All right? I'm just a 52-year-old guy who's just an ordinary guy raising a family just like a lot of you out there. Okay? I just happen to take personal responsibility to protect myself. And that's what this show is always going to remain. So I'm not an expert, but I feel like, okay, now I'm going into my 3rd year of teaching people. Well, pretty close. Pretty close to 3rd year of training people since I actually got my NRA instructor certificate. I think it was back in April of 2012. When I got that. So yeah, I'll be entering my 3rd year shortly. Well, I feel that it's important for me to get training so that I can practice what I preach, and I always have an open mind. How many of you listening to this have an open mind? I hope so. Be real careful not to have a closed mind. Be careful in the firearms business, or any business for that matter, or whether it's a hobby of yours, whether you just want to learn something, especially with something that bears a huge responsibility, like owning and carrying a gun. And I sure hope that you agree that owning and carrying a gun bears a very, very huge responsibility. Be careful you don't have a closed mind. Be careful not to say, I got it now. I know everything. Been there, done that, got it handled, right? Be careful with that. That's called your comfort zone. And I'll borrow a phrase from John Payne. John Payne says the 2 most dangerous places in the world are gun-free zones and your comfort zone. That's true. Those are the 2 most dangerous places in the world to be. Don't make yourself in one of those dangerous places. Don't put yourself in your comfort zone. Always challenge yourself. Always have an open mind, please. And especially with a firearm, please don't put yourself in your comfort zone. You know, that's when accidents happen. And another thing that we find is when people really think that they've got it now mastered. Okay? I mean, they got that gun now. They got that gun for Christmas. And here it is, a few days after New Year's. And they've already been out twice shooting that new gun they got. And I know that there's first-time gun owners. And you might not be listening to this show, but I'll bet you you know someone listening to this show who's a first-time gun owner. And here's what they're thinking. All right, I got this gun. I got it about 3 or 4 months ago. A friend of mine told me to buy it, so it must be a good gun. I bought 3 boxes of ammo, and I shot those 3 boxes of ammo. Don't have any extra magazines. In fact, don't even really have a good holster. As a matter of fact, don't even have a good belt. But got this gun. Got a gun in a carrying case. Got 3 boxes of ammo. Been to the range. Put the target out there at 7 yards. And by golly, I kept all 150 rounds on paper. Matter of fact, I kept it inside that silhouette. My groups weren't that good, but I kept it inside that silhouette. Didn't have any major malfunctions with the gun. Gee, I guess I'm good to go. I got it down now. Right? How many of you know somebody like that? And when the time comes, if it comes, hopefully it doesn't come, when the time comes for them to actually use that gun against a bad guy that wants to kill them or kill a member of their family, they could fail miserably. And you notice I get emotional there. Because why do we do this, folks? Why do we carry these guns? You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about some stereotypes of gun owners coming up a little bit later in this episode. The real reason, though, that we carry these guns is because we take it seriously to protect ourselves. You know, I open my shows, I say I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Because a cop can't be with me 24 hours a day to be a deterrent. And that police officer, he or she, may be a deterrent, may not be. Probably wouldn't even have the obligation to protect me if I could carry him or her. But it's kind of a play on words that I use to emphasize the personal responsibility that we all have. That's why we carry these guns, folks. So don't you want to be effective with it? Don't you want to prevail when and if that time comes? And it may never, right? What's the likelihood? What is the percentage of likelihood that you are going to get involved in a gunfight to protect yourself or protect a loved one? I don't know. It's probably very, very small. Probably very small. But even though it's small, guess what? It's your life we're talking about, isn't it? And why would you want to lose your life because you weren't as effective with that firearm as you should have been? And ladies, let me speak to the ladies listening to this show for a minute. Ladies use guns to protect themselves thousands of times per year. Okay? Thousands of women every year are using firearms to protect themselves from all sorts of things. Muggings, rapes, murders. Most of the time they're being overpowered by men. Most of the time they're being overpowered by street thugs who are preying on women. Ladies, don't you want to be the best you can be? Looking back on 2013 and the classes that I taught through Suarez International and the classes that Ben Branham and I taught together, as I was reflecting around New Year's Day, you know what? It made me think, hey, we had a lot of ladies come through our classes, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Most of them came with their significant others, but it was just great to see them there. I hope we have more women in 2014. come through our classes. I hope that women continue in record numbers to get concealed carry licenses and go get training and learn how to be effective with it. You don't want to be that guy or that gal that buys a pistol and goes to the range, to the square range, and stands there and fires those three boxes of ammo and thinks that because at 5 yards that he or she was able to put all 150 rounds in that silhouette, and now they can pack up that gun, they can put it in the case, and they can go home, and they can stick it in the closet, the safe, or the nightstand, and now they're fine. They're protected. Got it. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're not protected. You don't have it down, because you are likely going to face a trained street thug. And if you don't think street thugs are trained, if you don't think bad guys are trained, think again. You know where they get their training? They don't come through classes like I teach. At least I hope they don't. We try pretty hard to make sure that they don't. You know where they get their training? They get their training on the mean streets. They get their training with the other thugs on the streets who live to fight, who live to kill and maim and murder and destroy. Right? That's where they get their training. So why would you want to be the person that shot the three boxes of ammo from a standstill at a target 5 yards away, and you had like 12-inch groups, but you were happy that you kept them on the silhouette, and you've called it good? Do you want to be one of those people with that amount of skill level with your gun going against a couple street thugs that have learned with the other gang members on the street? Just think about that. So that's why I'm going to improve my skills. The format of this show, I was going to change it a little bit, but it seems to be working, so I think I'm going to keep the format of the Handgun World podcast. I don't think I'm going to change it very much. You know, I'm going to continue to bring you great interviews as much as I can. I'm going to continue to give you my thoughts while I'm driving in the Handgun World mobile studio, like I'm doing right now. I'm going to try to get more live interviews with people face-to-face with my recorder. Those seem to always work out pretty cool. I'm going to try to interview more students that come through our classes so you can get the students' perspective is what's going on. Ben and I are going to continue to film a lot more excellent information and videos for the Shooters Club, a great training resource that we put out. And we're going to continue to try to film more classes. Now, with my wife's health situation, I don't know how many classes I'm going to be able to teach in 2014. Let's see what happens. The jury is still really out as to what she's suffering through anyway. We're getting conflicting messages right now. And the good news is that her symptoms don't seem to be getting a whole lot worse right now. So that's a good thing. Amen. That's a blessing. Right now, I've got a fairly aggressive schedule planned, at least for the first two-thirds of 2014. Okay, let's see what happens. So I'm going to beg your forgiveness in advance because due to family issues, I have to scale back a little bit. I'm sure you'll understand that. Now, the other thing I'm going to do more in 2014 is I'm going to get involved in competition more, competition sports. I miss firearms competition. I miss IDPA and USPSA. I want to get to more IDPA and USPSA matches in 2014. I'm going to do that. I'm going to spend some more time with my son and his shooting skills. I didn't get enough time in 2013 to spend helping my son perfect his shooting. So I'm going to spend more time with him. I've got this excellent Glock 19 with an Advantage Arms 22 conversion kit. And I got four magazines for that. That's a great training tool. Great training tool for my son. I'm going to make sure he's got his fundamentals down with that 22, and then I'm going to put the Glock 19 in his hands and let him fire more real 9mm loads. He's done that, but he just doesn't quite have enough training. My son does not have a 1,000-round trigger job under his belt with a 9mm handgun. So I'm going to try to see if I can get my son up to 1,000 rounds this year. At least maybe about half those rounds, 22 long rifle, and then the other half, 9mm. So that's one of my commitments this year as well. Competition, take some training, spend some more time with my son, keep doing this podcast, Shooters Club, fill up some classes. Wow, think that's enough? Can you tell that I enjoy this stuff? Oh, and by the way, did I tell you that I'm also going to continue to work a very busy and profitable full-time job and be a dad and a husband? Hey, so when do I sleep? Oh, well, I'll figure it out. I'll work it all out. For 52 years, I've been working it out, and I enjoy it. And, hey, you know what? When you love something, it's not work. And, as you can tell, I love to do this. So it's not work to me. This is not work. This is not unpleasant. Work is what you're doing when you'd rather be doing something else. I'll say that again. Work is something that you're doing when you'd rather be doing something else. I haven't worked since I was 26 years old. Seriously. I'm serious. I have not worked since I was 26 years old. Why? Because I love what I do every day. I love to sell. You may think, boy, that's strange, Bob. No, it's not strange. Good salespeople that really know their craft and do well, they love it. I'm an honest salesperson. I'm straightforward. I admit mistakes when I make them. I don't lie to customers. I don't bash competition. And I find things that I enjoy, and I find products to represent that I 100% believe in. And the full-time job that I do, I 100% believe in that product. And I've seen so many happy customers when they buy my product. I believe in it. And I just love the challenge and the freedom of selling. So it's not like work to me. It doesn't seem like work. When I teach a firearms class, it doesn't seem like work. Are you kidding? Boy, that's not work to me. I get paid to go out there, have fun, and teach people how to shoot. How cool is that? Does it get much better than that? People giving me money to teach them how to go out and have fun on the firing range and learn to defend themselves? Woohoo! That's not work. No way! That's not work. Okay, I lied a little bit. Yeah, I've done housework. I've done house repairs, things like that. Helped the wife out around the house. Okay, that's work. Because that's stuff I'm doing when I'd rather be doing something else. Okay, I'll admit that. I haven't worked full-time since I was 26. Let's put it that way. Because I love what I do. And I'm the kind of person, folks, I'm the kind of guy, I don't do anything unless I enjoy it. And I'm not talking about home chores. I'm talking about whatever I do outside of home chores. Okay, so let's get back into the main topic of hoplophobia. Now that you know what my 2014 is going to look like. First of all, let's talk about somebody who is definitely not a hoplophobe. And that was Thomas Jefferson, who said, "No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms." Good old Thomas Jefferson. And you can find tons of our founding fathers of our country that believed that free people should use and own, possess firearms. That's why we have the Second Amendment. But see, what happens out there is we've got this very sinister campaign of propaganda that's waged upon the people. Right? And the people are fed this one-sided garbage statistics by the news regarding guns. And the whole purpose of that is to instill fear in the minds of people. And that's one reason why I think we've got this irrational fear of guns. That's why we have all these hoplophobes out there. And the reason they're doing this is because they know it would be next to impossible to pass any kind of laws that would completely ban firearms. Now, look what just happened. Sandy Hook, slightly over a year ago. That was probably one of the worst atrocities and mass killings in the history of our nation. That was a gun crime. That guy used a gun to commit a crime. It doesn't mean it was the gun's fault. It was indeed a gun crime. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about gun crimes a little bit later, right, in this episode. Okay? But you'll find that most gun criminals, most people who commit crimes with guns, they're usually habitual criminals anyway. They normally have rap sheets. They normally have a habit of committing crimes in general. Or they're psycho. Or they're psychotic. And I'm not even going to say his name, but like the guy, the young man at Sandy Hook Elementary. But even after that horrific crime, that horrific gun crime, really, how many oppressive gun laws got passed after that? Not many. Bunch of meaningless executive orders by the president. Couple states passed some oppressive magazine restrictions. One state, Illinois, however, was forced. They were forced to allow concealed carry. Yeah, I know it's restrictive. It'll loosen up. You watch. At least there is some form of concealed carry in Illinois now. But the hoplophobes and the politicians that like to play on the fear of the hoplophobes, they do this because they think it's the easiest way to get gun restrictions rather than trying to do it the correct way. Let's just scare the people with a bunch of false facts, propaganda, and BS. And let's hope that enough of them buy into it that we can get some of this stuff passed. That's their strategy. All right? And there's a good number of politicians in this country that do not want an armed citizenry that's capable of standing up to a government and resisting and pushing back against tyranny. They don't want that. You know, they'll tell you, oh, well, these laws are being passed for your own good. That's what they say. But let's not forget what Ben Franklin so famously said, that they that give up essential liberty to obtain a little bit of temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And let's never forget one of the chief hoplophobes out there, Dianne Feinstein, senator in California, who once told CBS News 60 Minutes, and I quote, "If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in. I would have done it." There you go. I directly quoted one of the chief hoplophobes, Dianne Feinstein. However, here's something you probably didn't know. You don't hear much about this guy, but he said probably one of the most revealing statements about gun control ever. Nelson Shields, the founder of Handgun Control Incorporated, said in a New York magazine, he wrote this in New Yorker magazine back in 1976. He wrote, "We're going to have to take this one step at a time. And the first step is necessarily, given the political realities, going to be very modest." Now, he's talking about gun control here. "Right now, though, we'd be satisfied not with half of a loaf, but with just a slice. Our ultimate goal, total control of all guns, but it's going to take time. The final problem is to make the possession of all handguns and all handgun ammunition, except for military policemen, licensed security guards, licensed sporting clubs, and licensed gun collectors, totally illegal." Nelson Shields wrote it in New Yorker magazine. I'll never forget, folks, this happened just about 6 months ago to me on Facebook. It was longer than that. I think it was maybe a couple of months after Sandy Hook, when some of the gun control legislation was being proposed. And I made some comment on someone's Facebook thread on Facebook saying that that I was a firearms trainer and that it's my goal to help train people or provide training in the proper use of a handgun. And this elitist lady, and I could tell by her, I could tell she was an elitist. One that thinks she's smarter than everybody else, right? An educated person. A historian by nature. Or excuse me, a historian by education is what she said. She has a PhD in history of all things. Because, of course, that's what her profile said. And she was very quick to remind me that she has a PhD. So she's one of the enlightened ones. And I'll always remember her Facebook post. She said, "Hey, Bob, your training is not real training unless you're training law enforcement and military." You believe that? She said, "Your training is not real training unless you're training law enforcement or military." Well, man, you could, I bet you know what I did, right? A big smile came off on my face. I was grinning ear to ear, folks, when I got to write my response. My response, and I won't use her name, I said, "Ma'am, as a matter of fact, I do. As a matter of fact, I do train some law enforcement and military personnel. Because several of them have come through the training courses that I teach. Those that I teach by myself and those that I teach with Ben Branham. We've had plenty of law enforcement, active duty law enforcement, ex-law enforcement, active military, ex-military, come through our lowly little old civilian training that this elitist woman probably didn't know was even happening. Because my training, of course, is not real training unless I'm training law enforcement and military." And by the way, you and I both know, listening to this podcast, how much real firearms training do most law enforcement personnel actually get? It's not much. But she, the enlightened one, the PhD, is too ignorant to understand that. And this is why some people are hoplophobes. This is why they have hoplophobia. They don't get it. They don't understand. They don't understand how little training that many police officers get. Not all, but many. They don't understand that most military personnel don't get good training with their handgun. They get good training with their rifles, but they don't often get good training with their handgun, which is what they end up carrying on the street, and which is what 99% of civilians carry, handguns. Isn't that interesting? Thomas Jefferson also once said that the beauty of the Second Amendment is that it will not be needed until they try to take it. Isn't that a good one? And in a letter to James Monroe, James Madison wrote, "There is no maxim, in my opinion, which is more liable to be misapplied and which therefore needs elucidation than the current one that the interest of the majority is the political standard of right and wrong. In fact, it is only reestablishing under another name a more specious form, force, as the measure of right." Basically, what he's trying to say there is that the standard of right and wrong is often misapplied. And people think it's wrong to own a gun. People think you must be a weirdo if you own a gun. People think you must be a bad guy. You have to be a bad guy. Or you hate the community. You don't believe in freedom. You don't care about safety if you own guns. And I know sometimes it's hard to understand some of the writings that some of our founding fathers wrote because their English was so different then. And the way that they spoke and the phrases and the words that they used. So you have to kind of paraphrase. But I think they were very clear about the standards of right and wrong. And I think they were very clear about the Second Amendment especially. And I think it was very clear that they did not think it was wrong for people to own guns. As a matter of fact, not only did they think it was the right thing to do, they believed it was a citizen's duty to own guns and know how to use them to protect themselves. So, why do people have an irrational fear of guns? Well, the reason they have an irrational fear of guns is because they've been programmed to do so by those who want an unarmed and defenseless citizenry. Okay, your government doesn't want you to have guns. But another thing that James Madison said, and I'll paraphrase it pretty simply, a government that does not trust its law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms is unworthy of trust. Yeah, I'll say that again. A government that does not trust its citizens to keep and bear arms, that government is not worthy of trust. Now, who said this? And this is the final quote that I want to talk about in this episode, and then I'm going to spend some more time talking about hoplophobia. Who said this? See if you can guess it. Today, we need a nation of Minutemen. Citizens who are not only prepared to take arms, but citizens who regard the preservation of freedom as the basic purpose of their daily life, and who are willing to work and sacrifice for that freedom. Right? Very well said by a very famous person. Today we need a nation of Minutemen. He believed in Minutemen, citizens who are not only prepared to take up arms, but citizens who regard the preservation of freedom as the basic purpose of their daily life. That was John F. Kennedy said that. Did you guess it? Did you guess it when I said it? How many hoplophobes do you think today would believe that John F. Kennedy said that, even though he did? And here's what I want to say to hoplophobes, people that have an irrational fear of guns. You never know, there might be some listening to this. There might be somebody that's forced to listen to it. Or there might be somebody that's come across my podcast and they want to hear, what is this crazy guy talking about guns? What has he got to say? You never know. You never know when somebody's listening to something. You never know when you might have an impact on something. So here's something that I want to say to all of you that have an irrational fear of guns, to all of you hoplophobes that Jeff Cooper talked about, all of you who suffer from that terrible disease called hoplophobia, there may come a time when you wish you had not been so afraid of guns. You might wake up in the middle of the night and realize that there's someone in your home that wants to harm you, that wants to harm you, kill you, take your stuff, and harm your children on the way out. And when that time comes, it'll be too late for you to change your mind and to go out and buy a firearm. Either you will have made those preparations beforehand, or you're going to find yourself a slave and maybe dead at the hands of a criminal. Plain and simple. You can't run down to the gun store and buy a gun after someone's already come into your home and the cops don't show up. You know, and if you're one of those who still thinks that guns should be completely banned because you're afraid of them, because you have this irrational fear, don't ask that someone's son or daughter be hurt because you forced them to not have a gun. Just because you're a hoplophobe, just because you might have an irrational fear of guns, don't take away somebody else's right to defense of themselves and their family. You have no right. You have absolutely no right as a hoplophobe. As somebody that has an irrational fear of guns, you got no right to force me or anybody else to forego the freedom that we have to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Let me tell you a story about somebody. I heard this man talking about it on the radio the other day. Okay? I heard this man talking about this. Well, I'll tell you what. Just a quick break, and I'm going to come back and tell you a cool story that actually happened.
You can now hear Gun Rights Radio Network while you're on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. On-demand news, talk, and more on your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Available for your iPhone, Android phones, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com or check out your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under Sources.
Okay, during the brief break, I want to let you know that sign-ups are already starting for the training class that Ben and I are doing with Glenn Tate. It's awesome. It's not till August 9th, 2014. We're teaming up with Glenn Tate. We're going out to the Seattle area. It's actually going to be up in Squim. And it's, you know, a couple hours west of Seattle, northwest of Seattle. A beautiful place. It's going to be up at Fort Discovery. And that's where I have heard that a lot of other training place takes place. Law enforcement, a lot of law enforcement. Joe, the owner of the range, has a lot of law enforcement and some military training up there. Fort Discovery in Squim, Washington. Here's what's really cool. There's sleeping quarters for 15 people. So Ben and I are each going to have a bunk of our own, so that's going to leave 13 more people. And I've seen pictures of the bunkhouse at the range. Is it ever cool? And an awesome classroom, plenty of good showers, plenty of good bathrooms and everything. Just a wonderful place. So, you know what? Squim is quite a ways away from Seattle. So even those of you that are up in Washington area, if you don't want to make that drive early in the morning so we can get that class started right away at about 8 or 8:15 at the latest, consider staying at the range. Your investment includes... It includes lodging at the range. Bring your own food, but it includes lodging at the range. So how cool is that? And again, we've only got room for about another 13 people. And I'm not going to tell you how many have signed up, but sign-ups have started. So if you want to get in on it and you want to stay at the range, there are plenty of good hotels nearby, but you'll have to pay for the hotels. So I guess what I'm trying to say is the first 13 who sign up for that are going to get free accommodations at the range if you want. I know this is short notice, but February 8th, Ben and I are teaching another night fighting class, Pistol Fighting Dynamics at Night. The last one was a huge success. February 8th in San Antonio, come take our night fighting class. Check that out. Check all these out at handgunworld.com. March 8th, we're going up to Dallas. We're teaching pistol fighting dynamics our entire one day, which is different than Beyond Concealed Carry. Pistol Fighting Dynamics is a little bit more advanced than Beyond Concealed Carry. If you're brand new and never had a training course before, you better get some practice before you take Pistol Fighting Dynamics. That's all I'm going to say. We don't want you to slow down the students, and if you're not safe with some of the gun handling we're going to do there, we won't let you finish the course. We will refund your money, but we won't let you finish the course. So Pistol Fighting Dynamics is really for people who have had some sort of training outside of their concealed carry class. You're going to be doing a lot of really cool things that you didn't think you could do. March 8th to our friends up in the North Texas area, Dallas-Fort Worth area. We're going to be at Quail Creek Range once again, where we've been the last several times. April, oh boy, think about April, folks. April 5th and 6th, close range gunfighting level 2. And actually, I'll be teaching Suarez International's close range gunfighting 2. Enrollments have started for that one too. I anticipate most of these are going to have pretty high attendance. Folks, we're going to be teaching some point shooting. I'll be teaching a little bit of point shooting in Close Range Gunfighting 2, Suarez International. Suarez International has taken the point shooting curriculum, and they've actually inserted it into some of the other classes. So even those of you who have taken Close Range Gunfighting before, this class is going to be different, and it's going to include some pretty cool stuff, including some point shooting skills. April 6th and 7th, you'll see a link to sign up for that at my website, also handgunworld.com. Now, this one I'm really excited to talk about. The Shooters Club giveaways. You've heard me on some other podcasts. I'm giving away my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield 9mm. Mine. I'm giving away my pistol. The one that I put orange dot, front orange dot Ameriglow night sights on it. I got four magazines, 3 8-rounders and 1 7-rounder. Plus a Black Mamba holster for it. Oh boy, you might get to win that. If you're an active member of our Shooters Club, that drawing is going to take place June 30th for all active members, past and present. If you've renewed or signed up and you're an active Shooters Club member, you can win that. Also, we're going to be giving away 250 rounds of 9mm full metal jacket ammo. We're giving away a range bag. We're giving away one free ticket to any class that we teach, that Ben and I teach, in the year 2014. So if you win that, you can pick whichever class you'd like to come to, anything that we're teaching in the year 2014. And all that's going to be conducted by drawing June 30th. But the best part is all the really cool instructional videos. And talk to anybody who's a Shooters Club member. And the way you can do that, actually, is if you go to the Shooters Club page on my website, or if you go to shootersclubmembers.com, you'll see reviews. And you'll see reviews by people who have actually signed up. Quite a few of them. A lot of instructional videos. Two videos a month, approximately. Either one long one or two short ones. Some audio podcasts. Cool stuff. It's only going to be $75 a year or $8 a month. There's two options. $75 one time for a one-year membership, or $8 every month. PayPal will bill you $8 every month if you sign up that way. It's pretty cool, folks, and I think that you're going to enjoy it. So you can go to handgunworld.com, click the Shooters Club page, or go to Shooters Club Members. .com. It's a way you can support the show. Last but not least, my Amazon account. Boy, thank you over Christmas. Man, you guys really supported me over Christmas. You guys bought a lot through my Amazon store link. And anything you buy through Amazon, if you do it through my link, it's the same prices, same free shipping deals occasionally whenever Amazon does it, once in a while. Some of the vendors, if they offer shipping specials or pricing specials. Whatever people on Amazon occasionally do, you get those same deals. But if you do it through my link, proceeds help the show. So if you go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store page. There's a direct link right there. You'll see a direct link to my store if you click the Amazon store page at handgunworld.com. All right, let's get back to the main topic of hoplophobia. Okay, so here's the story I was going to tell you. I was listening to the radio on one of my very long drives, and I heard a guy talking about a man that had something delivered to his house over Christmas time. It was a large item. And because it was a large item, the shipping company that had it delivered sent two guys over to his house to make the delivery. Now, these were two big, big guys. It was a heavy item. And they needed some serious muscle power. And this guy realized, this homeowner realized, that all of a sudden these two big guys are in his house. And probably nobody really knew that they were there. Probably they weren't being tracked all that well. And he had no idea who these guys really were, or what they could do. And they could easily overpower the homeowner if they wanted to do something bad. Now, I'm not saying that delivery personnel are always that way, but it dawned on this guy that, hey, wait a minute. I got these two big guys in my house, and they're in here, and I'm by myself. I could get overpowered. Now, think about if you're a woman in that situation. What if you're a lady and somebody's delivering something to your house? Bad people can also disguise themselves as delivery personnel, and all kinds of things like that. So all of a sudden the lights came on that, hey, he figured I might not be completely safe unless I have a way to protect myself. You know, but here's the problem. There's a lot of people, and you've probably heard them say this, haven't you? Even when the lights come on, even when they know they got to have a gun to protect themselves, even though they know they could be vulnerable, like this guy that had these two big delivery men in his house, even when they know they could be vulnerable, even when a lady sometimes knows she's vulnerable, what do they say? Oh, I just couldn't live like that. Right? When you tell them, hey, you know what, you need to get a gun for your protection, they stick their head in their sand, they cover their ears. I had one person email me and say that every time he mentions to his wife something about carrying a gun or that she should get a gun, she plugs her ears, doesn't want to hear what he's about to say. How many of you can relate to that? And they say something like, oh, I just couldn't live like that. They don't want to admit it. And they're sort of a hoplophobe also because they have this fear that guns are bad. Guns are dangerous. That guns cause accidents. Guns don't cause accidents. People cause accidents with guns. Stupid people. Ignorant. People who are not trained. People who are not trained in safety of a handgun. Guns do what they're supposed to do, folks. If the trigger is pressed, the gun's going to fire. Guns don't fire themselves anymore. They don't fire by themselves. So some knucklehead pressed the trigger when he or she wasn't supposed to do that. Well, that's not the gun's fault. The gun's doing exactly what it was designed to do. But how many of you know somebody that when you bring up their safety and the personal responsibility of taking care of themselves and protecting themselves, they plug their ears or they turn you out or they tune you out and they say, I just can't live like that. What they're saying is they can't live with the thought that the world is a dangerous place. The handgun or the rifle is a reminder to them that this world is a dangerous place and they don't want to admit it. And that's what it really comes down to, is they just don't want to admit it. And for some people, it's a reminder that they have to take personal responsibility for their own safety. And even most law enforcement will tell you that. Most law enforcement are going to tell you, hey, you know, you got to take responsibility for your own safety, because we can't be here all the time. Another reason why I think people have an irrational fear of guns, and they try to impose their fear of guns on you, is because they don't trust themselves with a gun. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe they have an irrational fear of guns because they don't trust themselves with a gun. And so they figure, well, if they can't be trusted with a gun, neither can you. And the worst ones, the worst hoplophobes, are the ones that try to impose their hoplophobia on you. And they try to say, you cannot have a gun. You cannot have a gun because we don't want to have a gun. So because we don't want to have a gun, we don't think you should be able to have one either. They're the worst kind, aren't they? I know several people like that. That lady who was the PhD on Facebook, who didn't think my training was worth anything unless I taught law enforcement or military. I bet she's one of those types. She probably wouldn't even be caught dead with a gun in her house. Probably doesn't trust herself with a gun. Probably doesn't trust anybody with a gun. So, by golly, she's not going to trust you with a gun. Especially all you ignorant rednecks that shoot guns. Well, that's what she actually said. That people are ignorant rednecks. Well, I mean, there was more to it than that. She was referring to a certain person from a certain reality show that's come under a lot of scrutiny lately and a lot of criticism lately. And he's on a show that lots and lots and millions of people love. And because he said something, and because he likes to shoot guns and shoot animals out on his own private land, that he's some kind of an ignorant redneck. Okay? But these are the worst types. And I think it's a deep-seated psychological issue. And now I'm being serious. Now I'm not making a joke about a condition called hoplophobia. Now I'm talking serious. People have a deep-seated psychological issue when it comes to guns. Now, I understand that there are people who have been victimized by people with firearms. And they can't separate the firearm from the aggressor. They were victimized by a person, and the person's tool was a firearm. But they equate gun with violence, gun with bad guy. Gun equals oppression. Gun equals fear. They can't seem to separate that. And so the sight or the sound of a gun makes them tremble. And I guess they're a true hoplophobe because they do have that irrational fear of guns. But if they haven't been victimized, if they haven't been victimized, then just because guns are something that they're not used to and something that they're not familiar with and didn't grow up with, and they still got this irrational, bogus, unfounded fear, the worst ones are the ones that try to impose it on us, those of us who are the good guys, those of us who are the responsible concealed carriers. We're the responsible gun owners. We're the ones that go through numerous background checks to buy guns, to get our licenses to carry guns, and we don't commit crimes. You know, if you go back to that show that Ben and I did, the interview that we did right before Christmas, the most recent episode prior to this one, where we talked about Second Amendment rights and how they sometimes clash with employers and property rights. And I made the point several times, people that have CHLs, that's what we call them here in Texas, people that have CHLs are the good guys. We're not the bad guys. But the ignorant hoplophobes don't get it. So as I wrap up, be sure to use the proven remedies. The proven remedies to get people over this condition called hoplophobia or hoplophobia. Get them over it. Okay? Just do whatever you have to do to get them to the range, to try it, to shoot. And an interesting transformation takes place, doesn't it? Okay? Desensitization, range time, lots of rounds. Lots of fun to be had by all. Oh, and by the way, they're going to get this little feeling of power when they shoot that gun. Right? Have you ever noticed that? Somebody that shoots for the first time and they get this big grin. This big ear-to-ear grin. And part of it is because of fun, but part of it is they just realized the power that they hold in their hand to defend themselves. And two things are going on. They're having fun, and they realize, wow, I have freedom. I have control. I can prevent myself from being a victim, and I'm no longer powerless. And boy, when these hoplophobes get that feeling, their condition is cured, and it's cured forever, and it's never to come back. So don't forget to help people get treated that way that suffered from this very serious and debilitating affliction. I almost forgot to mention certain vendors that help make this show possible. Texas Law Shield. I've had Michelle and Edwin on here twice interviewing on this show. They are offering you, if you're a listener, 2 free months of Texas Law Shield or U.S. Law Shield membership if you use the coupon code HGWORLD1. I'll put that coupon code in the show notes. HGWORLD1. You'll get 14 months for the price of 12 at Texas Law Shield. Concealment Solutions. Awesome holsters. Get your Black Mamba on. And Chaz from the Unnamed Trucker does it best. Yeah! Get your Black Mamba on. They're great holsters. Concealment Solutions. .com. Also, On Your Six Designs. On Your Six Designs, excellent Kydex holsters. Inside the waistband, appendix carry, behind the hip carry, Shooters Club members get a really nice discount from On Your Six Designs. If you're a Shooters Club member, I will email you the coupon code. Sturdy Belt. Don't forget about sturdybelt.com. Great belts, great shooting belts, good looking belts. He also makes holsters too. He's giving a discount to Shooters Club members. You'll get a coupon code to get a discount from Sturdy Belt. And American Gun Oil. There's a link in the show notes. You can get free shipping from American Gun Oil. I've been using American Gun Oil now well over 6 months, I think, pretty much. And it's excellent stuff. So use your coupon code to get free shipping there. And I also want to say I'm going to be doing a podcast review very soon on the One Source Tactical Match Grade Threaded Barrel for my Glock 19. One Source Tactical, the product division of Suarez International. They sent me, for testing and evaluation, a threaded barrel that I've pretty much put through the paces now, which I am going to review. It's excellent. I'm really pleased with their match grade barrel. And there's a couple of other little accessories that I've added to my Glock that have really made it shoot better. Now, it's not for beginners. You can't drop in hardware and expect your fundamentals to get better, because the hardware is not going to make your fundamentals better. But once you've got the fundamentals down pretty good, once you become a pretty decent shooter, these little extras really help. With all that said, I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. The loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.